السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, we continue with our series of khutab on the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, the Sahaba, the gold standard. Starting today, I want to mention for you, and each Jummah we will do one of these. There are six qualities that I believe were qualities from the lives of the Sahaba. Six qualities, fundamental qualities, which I believe existed in the Sahaba and were their hallmark. These were the qualities that distinguished them from other people. Now, individuals among them had also other qualities that were peculiar to them, but the six that I am going to mention were present in all of them, and they were common to all of them, and they can be said to be the values that defined their culture. The purpose of all of this identification and speaking about these things, as I remind myself and you again and again, is not merely to listen to the stories, but to do our best to inculcate these qualities in our own lives. Not purely for reasons of piety, but even more importantly, for reasons of success in this world and the next. The Sahaba, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were the most successful people of their time. In both worlds, in the dunya as well as the hereafter. And obviously, if we emulate their qualities, if we inculcate those qualities in ourselves, then we can say that inshallah we will also be successful in this world and the next. And that's the reason for studying these qualities, for researching them, for reminding each other about them, and for trying to inculcate them in our lives. The six qualities of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, I will enumerate them, and then we will do the first one today, and then we will do the next ones in the coming Fridays inshallah. The first one was Iman and Yaqeen, two related things. Iman and Yaqeen, two related things, but two things which are both equally important. Iman is the first step. Yaqeen is what the Iman must turn into. Iman alone by itself is not sufficient, and Yaqeen obviously will not happen without Iman. Iman and Yaqeen. The second was knowledge and action. Knowledge and action, not knowledge or action. Knowledge and action. The third one was the brotherhood of faith. The brotherhood of faith. Not a brotherhood of race, not a brotherhood of community, or in terms of caste, not in a brotherhood of nationality, not even a brotherhood of family ties, but a brotherhood of faith. The fourth one was the willingness to invest in Islam. Not only money, but time and energy and money and your life itself. Willingness to invest in Islam. That's the fourth one. The fifth one was handling of ikhtilaf, dealing with differences of opinion. And I'll speak about this in detail, but this is one of the key problems that we have today. We do not know how to deal with differences. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. What is the ayah? Hold to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa'tasimu bihablillahi jami'an wala tafarraqu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say wala takhtalifu. Allah did not say do not have ikhtilaf. Allah did not say wala takhtalifu. He did not say do not have ikhtilaf, do not have a difference of opinion. He said do not separate from one another. Do not form cliques. Do not form groups. Do not form organizations and so on and so forth based on a difference of opinion. Don't separate from one another. Don't break up. Wala tafarraqu. He did not say wala takhtalifu. We can have ikhtilaf. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the ikhtilaf urrai. The difference of opinion of this ummah is khair for this ummah. He said, it's a good thing for this ummah. Alhamdulillah. It means that you have intelligent people who are thinking. But it's not a sign of intelligence to separate from your brothers based on a difference of opinion. So handling of ikhtilaf. And the last one was the position of da'wah. The position of sharing your goodness with others. So inshallah today we look at the first of these qualities, which is iman and yaqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu mentioned these two words right in the beginning of his kalam in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the first ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the qualities of the muttaqeen. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. He said that is a book, the Quran is a book which is a book that has no doubt and which is a means of guidance for people of taqwa. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Who are the muttaqeen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the muttaqeen. He's explaining who the muttaqeen are. أَلَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. These are the people who have iman in the ghaib. So Allah used the word iman. Iman bil ghaib. What is the ghaib? The akhirah. What is unperceivable? There is one of the many mistakes in translation we do. We call al ghaib unseen. But something can be unseen but heard. It can be unseen but felt. So it's not only unseen. Ghaib, al-ghaib is the unperceivable. What will happen in your grave is not something that you have any means of perceiving. You can't see it, you can't hear it, you can't feel it. If you want to know what is going to happen in the grave, you have to listen to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have to listen to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us will happen in the grave, and you have to believe his word. That's it, period. So it is unperceivable. It is not something which is unseen. So unseen is the translation of al-ghaib as unseen is a wrong translation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. These people, who are the people? They have iman in the ghaib. I'm talking about the issue of iman wal yaqeen. And then in the same ayat, at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. Allah did not say, وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُؤْمِنُونَ. He said, وَبِلْ آخِرَتِهُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. They have yaqeen in the akhirah. Now think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already mentioned the akhirah, which is al-ghaib, in the beginning of the ayah. And they said, who are the muttaqun? The ones who have iman in the akhirah. Then what is the need to say, وَبِلْ آخِرَتِهُمْ يُوقِنُونَ? Because there is a difference between iman and yaqeen. To give you an example, if you are going for a walk, early morning, you're going for a walk and you're passing big mansions of people, big gates and so on and so forth, and on all the gates almost invariably you will see the sign saying beware of dog. Right? So what, if I ask you now, what do you know about what is in this house? You will say, well, I know that there is a dog in this house. Now is it likely to be a little pug or a poodle or something? No. Nobody says beware of a pug. Right, so there's probably a man eating Rottweiler or something which is inside this house. So you've got this board saying beware of dog. So in terms of knowledge, in terms of knowing what there is, you are the alim of the time because you know that there is a dog in this house. Right? So if I ask you, well, it says beware of dog, which means this dog is dangerous. Do you believe that? He says, of course. Of course I believe that.
So as far as Iman is concerned, on the danger of this dog, you have Iman. Now you continue your walk, and as you come in front of the gate, you find that this gate is not completely closed, the gate is partially open. And as you come before that open space in the gate, you find that this dog is sitting right there in front. And the moment the dog sees you, he stands up to greet you. And you find that the dog is not chained. Now ask yourself this question. In terms of knowledge, has the knowledge changed in any way? Did you go there and find, oh, it's not a dog, it's a lion? No, it's a lion, it's a dog. You knew that. The fact that the dog is potentially dangerous, did this piece change in any way? No. But is there a change in you when you see this dog coming at you? Yes or no? So what will you do? You start saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasul. You know, you're like 2 seconds from becoming history, so you may as well. So what is this change? And what is the sign of this change? What is the sign that your Iman has changed into Yaqeen? What is the sign? Action, action. You are doing something. You are actually doing something which is related to that Iman. I knew the dog is dangerous, but now when I'm actually faced with the dog, I take some action, either to protect myself or to whatever it might be, right? So you're taking some action. This is the difference between Iman and Yaqeen. Iman is to know and to believe. Yaqeen is to do something about it. And this is the point I want to make with respect to the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically used these two words in the Quran and also in other places. And that is the progression, that is the natural progression. We ask Allah to take us on this progression and to take us to a level of Yaqeen. Because unless we come to Yaqeen, you will not find changes in our lives. How many people here do not know? How many of you do not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited interest-based transactions? That interest-based transactions are haram, and the one who indulges in interest-based transaction has accepted a declaration of war from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anybody who does not know this? Nobody, right? We all know this. Do you believe this? Do you believe in the ayat of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, leave this or accept a declaration of war from Allah and His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Do you believe in this ayat of the Quran or not? Anybody does not believe? Because if you do not believe in the ayat of the Quran, then you are exit Islam. You are not Muslim anymore. So you all believe. And it is my belief that nobody here has any interest-based transactions in his life, inshallah. Right? But we know that the world is not like you. We know that this world is full of Muslims who are indulging in interest-based transactions left, right and center. So where is the yaqeen? I'm sure if you go and ask any of them and say, do you know this is not haram? Do you know this is haram? They say yes. Do you believe in the ayat of the Quran? Yes. Then why is it you are not doing anything? Because the iman has not translated into yaqeen. They don't understand what does it mean to be at war with Allah. That hasn't gone inside. So it's words. It is words. It's like yesterday I was in Chennai and we were talking about the issue of bribery, and one of them says, well, there is a mufti I go to, and the mufti told me that to give a bribe, it is like sadaqah. I said, mashallah. Alhamdulillah. I said, you and your mufti and your fatwa will stand together before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Now imagine this corruption that is there in this ummah. One is to give a bribe because you have no other choice, and I'm not saying that is good, but I'm saying that somebody is stuck and he gives a bribe because there's nowhere to go, and what does he do? He lives in a bad environment, so he does it, he makes tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he cries before Allah, he said, I feel soiled, I feel as if I have, you know, I'm dirty because I had to give this thing, and what a horrible thing, and so on and so forth. He does not justify it. If you ask him, did you do right? He said, no, of course it is not right. I wish I had the guts not to do it. He's crying before Allah, he's making tawbah before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even then it is not right to do it, but I'm saying one is that situation. Another one is to say, no, what I'm doing is right, it's sadaqah. So you give a bribe, Allah gives you reward. And you got some mufti who gave you this fatwa, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun.
question of iman and yaqeen is important because it's only when we have yaqeen that we will change our ways, and it's only when we change our ways that our life will change and our akhirah will change. Knowing about bodybuilding does not do anything to your body. Actually going and pumping iron will do something to your body. Yes or no? You can be the greatest expert, all the, you know, everything, all the tricks in the book, but you don't apply them, nothing will happen. But you don't know all the tricks in the book, you know only one. But you apply that trick, it works for you. So in this issue of iman and yaqeen, I am trying to, as I told you, these are common to all the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. But I am trying to pick one or two of them who to me exemplify this to a level of excellence. And the one I picked, or the two I picked, are the parents of Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu, Sumayya bint Khayyat and her husband Yasir bin Amir radiallahu anhu. Sumayya bint Khayyat is known to be in Islamic history as the first shaheed in Islam. I'm sure you all know that she was the first shaheed in Islam. Yes? I know that you all know that she was a woman. But how many of you know that she was a black African woman? She was an Abyssinian woman. The first shaheed in Islam is not an Arab. Is not from the Quraysh. The first shaheed in Islam is a woman, and a black African Abyssinian woman, Sumayya bint Khayyat radiallahu anha. When you get the text of this khutbah, you will get all the details and so on, so I'm not reading all that. She was a slave of Abu Hudhayfa ibn al-Mughira, who later gave her in marriage to Yasir bin Amr al-Ansi. And he was the second person. What a marriage. They lived together and they died together both as shuhada fi sabilillah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant this to those who want it. I don't make these duas for everybody, it's up to you. Now, Yasir radiallahu anhu belonged to the Yemeni tribe of Madhij, and he and his two brothers visited Mecca to look for some relatives, and instead of returning to Yemen, they stayed there, they settled in Mecca, and that's how Sumayya bint Khayyat radiallahu anha got married to Yasir bin Amr radiallahu anhu. She had three sons, Hurayth, Ammar and Abdullah. And we know that Ammar ibn Yasir was also one of the early entrants into Islam, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the ayah which I have recited many times in the series of the khutab from Surah Tawbah, where Allah said, As-sabiqoon al-awwaloon. So As-sabiqoon al-awwaloon are the people, and these are the sabiqun al-awwalun, truly the people of the first of in Islam. Now, she and her husband were strangers in Mecca. They had nobody. And she was also a black African woman, so was looked down upon by the racist people of the time of Quraysh and so forth. And so they were tortured. And Abu Jahl was the principal person who did all this, where they picked the weak ones, they picked the ones who had no backing of any tribe and so forth, and they used to torture them. So they would do various things. They would put them on the burning sand and put rocks on their chest, like they did with Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu. Or they would just tie them up to a stake and leave them there to roast in the sun all day. No food, no water. in the burning heat, and they would beat them and whip them and all kinds of things, all sorts of tortures, all for one reason only. And what is the reason? Because they entered Islam. And all of this torture would go away, and they would have got wealth, and they would have been freed from slavery and everything else, if they did only one thing, which is to leave Islam. Now think about that, that it was also possible for people like this, and it's even permissible for them to say that we are not Muslim. Just to get out of a life-threatening situation, it is permissible for a Muslim to say, I am not Muslim. So, Sumaya bint Khayyat radiallahu anha and Yasir ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, they could have done this. They could have said, to get out of the torture and so forth, also said that Bilal and others, they could have said, okay, we have given up Islam. I ask myself and I request you to ask yourself, what is it that was in their heart that they did not do this? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, to establish principles, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows some people to do some things. Amr ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu was one of those who recanted. When the torture became too painful for him, he said, I'm not a Muslim. I have left Islam. So Abu Jahl let him go. He freed him. Now he went to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have done this. I told Abu Jahl that I am out of Islam, that I am no longer a Muslim, that I have gone back to my old faith. Because I'm sorry, I could not bear the pain. The torture was too painful, and I could not bear the pain, so I said this. Am I still a Muslim? As I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets certain things so that we have some dalil to do whatever we do. I'm not trying here to compare a sahabi to a sahabi. That's not my job. I'm just talking about incidents from the seerah. So Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asked him, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you said I am out of Islam, what was in your heart? He said, in my heart was Islam, alhamdulillah. He said, I only said this to get out of this because I just could not bear the pain. He said, Islam was in my heart, Islam never left my heart, Islam is still in my heart, I am still a Muslim. I just did this to escape because it was so painful. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then alhamdulillah, inshallah, you are a Muslim, you never left Islam. So this is the rukhsa, this is permissible for somebody who finds himself in that situation. But remember, his mother and father also knew this. But they chose something else. And when Abu Jahl used to beat them and torture them, they refused to give up their Islam. They refused to give up their Islam. And one day, in a fit of rage, Abu Jahl took a spear and he speared Sayyida Sumayya radiallahu anha, and she died fi sabilillah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajun. Now Abu Jahl thought that seeing his wife being killed before his eyes would frighten Yasir ibn Amr radiallahu anhu. So he came to him and he said, what about you? See what happened to her. Give up your Islam. Yasir radiallahu anhu said, no. He said, no. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So Abu Jahl then got his people to throw Sayyidina Yasir radiallahu anhu on the ground. They tied four horses to his four limbs and they ripped him apart alive. Now obviously this didn't happen in an instant. While the horses were being tied and so on and so forth, Yasir radiallahu anhu had the opportunity to say, alright, I have given up Islam. He would have said that. He didn't say it. He did not say it. and he chose to die in that condition. Ask yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is the Rabb who made the elephant of Abraha to refuse to go towards the Kaaba. We know the story of Abraha. When they brought the elephant and they tried to drive the elephant toward Makkah, the elephant would turn around, wouldn't move. When they took him back towards Yaman, he would walk. Minallahi ta'ala. So what could Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have done? Could Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not have prevented Yasir radiallahu anhu from dying in that situation? Why did Allah not do that? And that's the reason I say the Sahaba are the gold standard. They defined the standard. What is the standard of Yaqeen? The standard of Sumayya bint Khayyat and Yasir bin Amr radiallahu anhumah. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us examples for us to live by them. Another one of those who came, and remember this, these two people, many people died for the sake of Islam. Later after them, many people died. In Badr, people died, in Muslims died. In Uhud, many more died and so on and so forth. But remember that those people were fighting. They had weapons. They had an army with them. But these two had nobody for them. There was no one there. They had no help whatsoever. Only their yaqeen was on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. They were defenseless. They bore no arms. They were not fighting anybody. They did not do anything to anybody. They just chose to believe something. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this tendency among the enemies of Islam and Muslims to kill Muslims, to kill a person only because he said La ilaha illallah. Allah mentioned the story of Musa alayhi salam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مُؤْمِنٌ مِّنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ يَكْتُمُ إِيمَانَهُ أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَنْ يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ. From the people of Fir'aun, the person who was from Fir'aun's family and who had Iman and who hid his faith initially, he asked Fir'aun, he said, will you kill a man just because he says my Rabb is Allah? Because Fir'aun wanted to kill Musa alayhi salam. So the man says, that's the only reason? Because the man said, my Rabb is Allah. Another one who came to Islam in the early days, again a question of Iman wal Yaqeen, was the great alim and rabbi of the Banu Qaynuqa, whose name was Husayn bin Salam. Now Husayn bin Salam came from a family of religious scholars. His father was a great rabbi, his grandfather was a great rabbi. He was himself a great rabbi. He was highly respected in all of Medina, highly respected among his tribe for his learning and for his entire conduct and behavior and so on. He was a very systematic man. He used to divide up his day into parts where part of the day he would work in his date orchard, part of the day he would spend in his ibadah, part of the day he would spend answering people's questions and so on, and part of the day he would devote himself to research and study of the Tawrat. Now in the Tawrat, he became very interested in many ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the coming of a prophet who would complete the message of the previous prophets. So Husayn bin Salam said, who is this prophet, where is he going to come, and so on, and all the signs and so forth were there. Now when Rasulullah ﷺ reached Medina in 622 of the current calendar, A man came running and he said, he announced this issue of, he said, Muhammad has come, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, Husayn bin Ibn Salam says that I was on top of a date palm, I was doing some work, cleaning up the thing, and my aunt was sitting on the ground with her back to another date palm, very close. So, when Abdullah bin Salam heard this, he said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, from the top of the date palm. So his aunt, actually she said to him, she said, you are sounding so happy as if Musa alayhi salam has come. She says, why are you so happy? You're sounding so happy as if Musa alayhi salam has come. Because they were Jewish people. So Husayn bin Salam radiallahu anhu, he said, this is the brother of Musa. Because the Anbiya are brothers to one another. And indeed he is the true prophet. And I have studied this. So his aunt reflected for a while and she said, are you sure, is this the one that is mentioned in our books and this is what you have been studying? He said, yes, by Allah, this is the man who we have been waiting for, who the Jews have been waiting for. So Abdullah bin Salam said, now his name, Nabi Salam changed it, so he, Husayn bin Salam. Now he writes, he said, when I heard of the appearance of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I began to make inquiries about his name, his genealogy, characteristics, his behavior, his time and place. And I compared this information with what is contained in our books. And from these inquiries, I became convinced about the authenticity of his prophethood. And I affirmed to the truth of his mission. He said, however, I concealed my views from my people, from the Jews. And then he said, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, and all of this happened, and he heard this, he said, I went to meet him in Quba. And he said, the big crowd of people around him. So I moved around in the crowd until I was close to him. And he said, the first words that I heard him say was, he said, spread salam, feed people, share your food, and pray during the night while people sleep, and you will enter Jannah without a problem, in peace. Three things. Spread salam, afshu salam, spread peace, spread salam. Second one, he said, feed people, he's talking about poor people. And third one, he said, pray during the night when other people are sleeping. Speaking about the Hajjud. Pray during the night when other people are sleeping and you will enter Jannah in peace. So Husayn bin Salam was also a person who, there used to be a special art called reading the face. People would look at a face. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi was an expert in that. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radhiyallahu anhu was an expert in that. People used to go and learn this. Now, Husayn bin Salam also was an expert in it. So he says, I looked at the face of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I knew that this is not the face of a liar. This is not the face of somebody who can tell a lie. Just by looking at him, he said, I was convinced. So he said, I went closer to him and then I gave him my bayah. I gave him shahada. He said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka rasulullah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to him and he said, what is your name? He said, Al-Husayn ibn Salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from today your name is Abdullah ibn Salam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed his name to Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu, and that is the name by which we know him. So Abdullah ibn Salam said, by the one who sent you with the truth, I do not wish to have another name after this day. And he said, I returned home and I introduced Islam to my wife and my children and my whole household, and they all became Muslim. The Quran implicitly mentions Abdullah ibn Salam, where in Surah Al-Aqaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَكَفَرْتُمْ بِهِ وشهد شاهد من بني إسرائيل على مثله فآمن واستكبرتم إن الله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, tell me, if this Quran is from Allah and you deny it, and a witness from among the Bani Israel, from among the children of Israel, which is the Jewish people, Abdullah bin Salam, testifies and he confirms that this Quran is from Allah. So he believed, and you are arrogant. Verily Allah does not guide people who are zalimun, people who do zulm, oppression, and who insist on worshipping other than Allah, even when they know that the truth is that there is only one who is worthy of worship, and that is our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu. So Abdullah ibn Salam is mentioned not by name, but implicitly, because Allah said one of the people of Bani Israel has accepted, and that refers to Abdullah ibn Salam. These are the asbab and nuzul of this ayah. Very interestingly, when Abdullah ibn Salam, radiallahu anhu, when he accepted Islam, he went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, call the people, call my people, Banu Qainuqa. And he said, I will stand behind a curtain so they don't know I'm there. Call them and ask them about me. And once they have said whatever they have to say about me, then tell them that I became Muslim. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called them and they all came. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then presented Islam to them, which they ignored, as that was the usual format. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what is your opinion? What do you say about Husayn bin Salam? They said, who? Our rabbi? Our leader? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. They said, subhanAllah, he is our leader, he is our rabbi, he is the greatest scholar among us, he is the son of the greatest scholar among us, he is the most honored among us, he has the most izzah, and so on and so on. Lot of praise. So Rasulullah, when they all finished, Rasulullah said, Husayn bin Salam has accepted Islam, his name is Abdullah bin Salam. So first they refused to believe him. They said, no, this can't be true. How can Husayn bin Salam accept Islam? Nabi said, yes, he has accepted Islam. And this is his name. So immediately they said, he is the most ignorant, he is the most foolish, he is the most disgusting, he is useless, his father was useless, we have no regard for him, and so on and so forth. They started cursing him. And Abdullah bin Salam said, these are my people. Now the reason I'm telling you this is because this unfortunately also is our situation today. We will not accept the truth, we will not accept good advice from someone, not because the advice is wrong, but because we don't like that person. Who are you harming? If you don't accept good advice from somebody because you don't like that person, who are you harming? Because if you needed that advice and you didn't take it, then you are the one who's going to suffer. But that doesn't strike us. There were a lot of people in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam who did not accept Islam only because it came from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were some people like that. So what happens now if you don't accept because you didn't like the person? Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu also was the first Muslim that was promised Jannah while he was still alive. Rasulullah one day was sitting with the best of his companions, radiallahu anhum, and he said, do you want to see a man walking on earth and in Jannah? So Sahaba said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, and they all wished that Nabi would point to one of them. Nabi pointed in the distance, and there was Abdullah bin Salam. Nabi said, that is a man of Jannah. He's walking in the earth and he walks in Jannah. My brothers and sisters, once again, the purpose of these khutab, and inshallah we'll look at the other qualities next week. Purpose is to bring these qualities into our lives. The purpose of these khutab is not simply to listen to the stories, but to try and inculcate them in our lives. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that, and to be pleased with you, and to make it easy for you, and inshallah to count all of you among those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he left the door open, and he said, وَالَّذِينَ تَبَعُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ, those who follow the Sahaba bil ihsan,
I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include all of you among those who will be counted as those who followed the Sahaba bil Ihsan on the day of judgment, inshaAllah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.